Here we go. Closing out the week here on my new series, MZTV. It's great to have you with me. I'm very happy to be talking to you again. I took a couple of weeks off, and I want to thank everyone for your love and your support of me, all the emails you sent me. I can't live without it. I really can't. We have a special relationship, of course. We're closer than blood relatives. We're fellow members of the body of Christ. We're going to be spending eternity together, working for the good of the universe with Jesus Christ as our head. He is currently our head. We're united in spirit, and I feel very close to you, and I know you feel the same way toward me, and your love, it sounds so cliche-ish and Hallmark-ish, but I don't mean it to sound that way. Your love of me sustains me. And I love you too, and I bring this truth to you. This is fellowship for me, even though I'm staring at a blank wall here. I've met enough of you, and enough of you have written me that I know you, and it's a privilege that I will never take for granted to be able to speak to you in this way, and to have you listening to me, to have you watching the show. It's just mind-boggling that I'm sitting here in front of this microphone speaking to you. I thank God for it. I'm happy with my sidetrack of the last couple days of the putting on the armor of God and recognizing that these protections work for us every day. And we just need to realize that they're already in place. And remember, it's God's armor. Do you know that people have actually died in their sleep? This is bizarre, but people, you have dreams, right, that are so real. People have been scared to death. I mean, maybe twice a year I have a really evil, horrible dream. I mean, not the same dream, but, and you just wake up, you're breathing heavy, your heart rate is going up, your heart's going, why? You're in your bed. Nothing's happening. But the imagination is so powerful, the mind is so strong, that people have actually died in their sleep from bad dreams, like they fall off a cliff or they're in a plane crash, and the body believes it. The mind believes it so much. I mean, your body is having a physical reaction to what you're thinking, is it not? A physical reaction. And the physical reaction is real. Your elevated heart rate is real. Your labored breathing is real. The sweat coursing down your forehead is real, but it's based on a lie. It's based on something that's not even happening. People are so worried about stuff that never happens. This is why we're to live for today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, said our Lord. Don't play some scary movie in your mind about what might happen. Don't do it. God's not going to protect you from that. You're writing and directing and starring in your own horror movie. And you're the only one in the theater watching the damn thing. Don't watch it. Don't write it. Don't produce it. Don't direct it. Get out of that theater. All right. I wrote a book called The First Idiot in Heaven. Here it is on the studio cam. To review the first five differences. There are 31 differences I have in this book. And I just lost a page. 31 differences. The first difference was Peter's gospel, the gospel Jesus gave to Peter when he was on earth. Peter was called in Israel. Remember, these are two gospels, one dealing with the reconciliation of the earth to God, that's Israel, and one dealing with the reconciliation of the heavens to God. That's the body of Christ. Peter's gospel was in accord with tradition. It had been taught before in the circumcision writings in the Old Testament, in Genesis, the law. It was traditional. Paul's gospel was unheard of. It was a secret until Paul revealed it. It's not a secret anymore. Jesus Christ is called the servant of the circumcision when he was on earth, Romans 15:8. Paul calls him in Colossians 1:15 the firstborn of every creature. Much bigger deal. Much higher scope. The saints in the circumcision gospel, they are to reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10, that's their field of ministry. That's the office where they're going to go to work every day. We, on the other hand, members of the body of Christ, we are to reign among the celestials. I'm not making that up. That's Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 7. So, In accord with that, Peter, who was given the keys of the kingdom, he was called in Israel. He was fishing on the Sea of Galilee, minding his own business and the business of the fish, and Christ called him. Paul, on the other hand, was called outside of Israel because he was to be the apostle of the nations. Point number two, Peter's gospel proclaimed among Israelites. Yep. Even Jesus said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent out his disciples and he said, don't even go to a road of the nations. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're telling me that's a universal gospel? You're telling me that's a gospel for everybody? No, it's a gospel for Israelites. Again, if you're looking for a gospel for everybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you're going to be disappointed. Paul's gospel, on the other hand, is proclaimed among the nations. Ephesians 3:8. This is Paul. To me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. Why does he say untraceable? The King James says unsearchable. No, it's very searchable. We're doing it now. They're untraceable in that you can't find Paul's truths in the Hebrew scriptures. Point number three, gospel of the circumcision, salvation because of Israel. This is review now, salvation because of Israel. Israel's a priesthood nation. Even in the 1,000 years, nobody comes to God except through Israel. It's because of Israel. In Paul's gospel, it is in spite of Israel. Israel has to be set aside before things can go great guns among the nations. It's in spite of Israel. Israel's set on the back burner. They don't like that. They don't like being set on the back burner. That's why the Jews hated Paul. What do you mean? People don't have to come to us. What do you mean people don't have to be baptized? What do you mean they don't have to be circumcised? And most importantly of all, what do you mean they don't have to obey the law of Moses? How dare you? And they tried to kill Paul. They hated it. Number four, Peter's gospel. The saints are termed the bride of the lambkin. A lambkin, that sounds strange. A lambkin is a baby lamb. Yeah, it's not even an adult lamb. Jesus was a lambkin. Anyway. That's a whole piece of truth that I'd like to get into sometime in an exhaustive manner. For a reference there, John 3:29, Revelation 21, verse 9. Paul's gospel, on the other hand, saints are termed the body of Christ. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30, the body of Christ. Much more intimate relationship than being a bride. I used to think that the bride was great. Oh, wow, the bride stands right next to the groom. That's a pretty close relationship. This is better. You're the groom. You're the body of Christ. You are as he is. It's more intimate. It doesn't have that one degree of separation. Peter's gospel is the gospel of the terrestrial. It's the glory of the terrestrial. Remember, we talked about differing bodies of glory. There's a body terrestrial, there's a body celestial. Peter's is terrestrial. 1 Corinthians 15:40, John 3:12. Paul's gospel, on the other hand, we are going to have celestial bodies. We're going to have bodies different than that of Israel. Reference there, 1 Corinthians 15:40 and 41. On we go now. Point number six, gospel of the circumcision. Peter's gospel, the gospel given to Abraham, that's when it started. Okay, that's when it started. Racial distinctions are important. Oh yeah, Matthew 19:28, Revelation 21, verses 10 through 12. This is Jesus to his disciples, and I quote, "Verily, I am saying to you, that you who follow me in the Renaissance, whenever the Son of Mankind should be seated on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Do you hear the common denominator? There is a number 12. What is 12? 12 is always associated with Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. These became the 12 tribes of Israel. Peter and his cohorts will be sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You better show your Israel card to get into the kingdom. Racial distinctions important. You'll never hear Peter say, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. Oh, no, Peter will never say that because it's very important to be a Jew in the kingdom. It's Paul who says, neither Jew nor Greek. That's the gospel of the uncircumcision. Get this. In the gospel of the uncircumcision, racial distinctions are irrelevant. I'll get into more details on this on Monday, but 1 Corinthians 12:13, Galatians 3:27-28, I'll get to those verses on Monday. Can Jews, can Israelites jump ship and join Paul's evangel? Yes, they can. But when they do that, they lose any national advantage. With Israel, Jews have the advantage always. When we're talking about the kingdom on the earth, whenever the number 12 is in the context, then you better believe Israel has a front row seat and the rest of the nations are second class citizens. Racial distinction is very important. But if a Jew is to join Paul's gospel, to align him or herself with the gospel of the uncircumcision, sorry, you lose your racial distinction. We don't care that you're a Jew anymore. Jews can't handle that. But those that could handle it, in fact, look, Paul himself was a Jew, was he not? The first member of the body of Christ? He said that I counted all things that were advantage to me. The fact that I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the race of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, all these things he counted as loss. Did you ever hear Peter say that? I don't care that I'm a Jew, doesn't matter. Oh, no, Peter would never say that. So a Jew that forsakes his or her national identity to come, I mean, it doesn't mean you stop being a physical Jew. It just means that as far as religion goes, you no longer have preeminence. The body, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. But whatever a Jew would lose, their gains, he or she would gain immeasurably to become a member of an esteemed body that is so high, so glorified, that it makes Israel look like a dusty little country in the Middle East. Now, wait a minute, that's exactly what it is.